It's a good day. Now, you need to buckle up and get ready, because there's no comedy in my message today. I'm going to preach to you, because this is a day of remembrance for North Elevation Church, and we need to remember some things today. As I was thinking forward to this day, this anniversary service, I began to meditate on a very powerful statement that I had once heard Hall of Fame head coach Don Shula say during a press conference. And he was the coach of the Miami Dolphins. In this press conference, a reporter asked him this: what are your goals? This is at the end of the season. What are your goals for next year? And Don Shula didn't even hesitate. He said, I think goal setting is highly overrated. He said, I have never won a game because I had better goals. I won games because I was willing to roll up my sleeves and do whatever it takes to make it happen. The question to us today on this day of remembrance, as we remember our beginning, the question is, are we willing to roll up our sleeves and do whatever it's going to take to do the will of God? Are we going to roll up our sleeves and be willing to do what God called North Elevation Church to do? God did not speak to Art just because he needed another church. North Elevation Church has a purpose for existing. So why does North Elevation Church exist? North Elevation Church exists to, oh, this is so important. North Elevation Church exists to elevate our communities with hope, one person at a time. That is why I have moved the banner from our gathering area to the platform to remind us. That's why the song, Chris picked the song, the 99. We are here to elevate our communities through hope, one person at a time, because one matters. We get too caught up in numbers. Well, I only had 5 at my community group. You should be shouting you had 5 at your community group. You should do as much shouting if one shows up to your community group, because the one matters. We get so caught up in numbers, and Jesus leaves the numbers, the 99, because he cares for the one. North Elevation Church exists to elevate our communities through hope, one person at a time. Listen, that has never changed, and I declare to you, it will never change. It will always be. It will always be. We exist, North Elevation Church exists, because of the 3 R's. To restore the fallen. And the fallen could be sitting right next to you. They could be downcast in their spirit and in their soul because they're going through stuff. They may be sitting in church and feel separated from the church. Anybody with me? The fallen can be the disconnected. Trouble came to their door, and they walked away from the church. The fallen could be those who have fallen back into sin habits that have pulled them away. The fallen could be those who are consumed with fear, worry, anxiety, and the list can go on and on and on. North Elevation exists to restore the fallen, one person at a time. North Elevation Church exists for the second R, resolve conflict between individuals and families. Not always easy, but God birthed this church for the purpose that we would care about the person who has conflict in their life and help them resolve it. That's why we exist. We exist for the third R, which is to refocus the church that it's not all about me. It's about others. We need to do a real good get in the mirror and take a hard look and make sure that it's not about me. It's about others. We exist for the one. It's never changed, and I declare to you, it never will. North Elevation Church exists to see people physically and emotionally healed and delivered from whatever is stealing their peace. That will never change, and it never will. I'll declare to you once again that Pastor Rochelle and I refuse to allow anyone to hijack the vision that God birthed at North Elevation Church and change it to something else. I'm going to launch from this platform something that I have penned, a truth, to dive into the heart of this message today to us in this day of remembrance. And that penned truth is this, that we must share our personal story of salvation. We must share our personal story of salvation. We must roll up our sleeves and make that a reality. We need to be sharing our story to the person who needs hope. We need to be sharing our story with the person who has fallen. We need to be sharing our story with a family that has conflict. We need to be sharing our story of how God healed me physically, how God healed me emotionally. I need to be sharing my story of how God brought peace that passes all understanding. And we need to roll up our sleeves and make that our reality, not only individually, but as the community of faith at North Elevation Church. Today is a day of remembrance. We need to remember why we exist. And this is why we exist. I'm going to bring to the table today one of the most known and probably one of the most popular stories in all of the New Testament for the purpose of pulling out onto the table from it truths that continue to speak to us of why we exist and to challenge us to get some things turned around to where we make the one most important. That's why we exist. Now, the story is in Luke chapter 5, but I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 4 first. Now, in Luke chapter 4, Luke pens and documents Jesus going into the wilderness and being tempted for 40 days. He fasts and prays for 40 days. He's being tempted of the devil. Now we're going to pick up the story as Jesus is coming out of that season of temptation. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone." Jesus comes from this 40 days of fasting and prayer, being tempted of the devil, says that he comes from this season full of power and begins to speak in the synagogues, says that people begin to know who he is. Scripture goes on to tell us that large crowds begin to gather and they begin to press on him. He's even rejected Scripture tells us. But yet it doesn't stop the crowds from growing. Now I want you to begin to live the Scriptures. You know how big I am on that. Don't just read the Word of God. Don't just listen to the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Now I want you to see these large crowds. They're following Jesus and they're getting larger and larger. They're getting so big now, they're just kind of pressing Jesus around. And now they have begun to, in a way, drive Jesus down to the shoreline of a lake. This large crowd. Now picture you've got fishermen who have been fishing all night long. And they have now brought their boats up to the shore, tied them off, and they're cleaning their nets. Can you imagine being a fisherman? You've been out all night, you're weary, you're tired, and you look up and you see this mass of humanity coming your way. And your livelihood is pulled up on the shoreline, and you're trying to clean your nets. And you see this man coming. You're not sure who it is at first, but then he comes into view. You've heard about him. You're not in the crowd. You're working. You've been fishing all night long. And here comes this man with this crowd, this large crowd pressing him towards the shoreline of the lake. And you've got all these fishermen watching this scene. Now let's pick the story up in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, man, don't get me started. The church needs to be pressing in to hear the word of God. That'll preach on its own. They were pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He was standing by the lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Get the picture. The boats are tied off. They're washing their nets. Now, I find this interesting. This crowd's pressing on Jesus, and they just keep washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now let's see this from Peter's perspective. If you've studied Peter at all, you know that Peter spoke before he thought. Thank goodness he didn't speak right away here. He was probably in too much shock. Here he is, he's got his boat tied off. He's cleaning his nets. He's keeping an eye on the crowd. And then this guy he's heard about, probably Jesus, just walks up in his boat. Didn't ask. I can just see my son-in-law calling if you stepped on his motorcycle without asking. He just got it. Don't be crawling on his motorcycle. He might lose his salvation. Amen. Now you got, get this, get down to where it's at. You think, we don't think about, Peter watching this guy walk up in his boat. I can imagine Peter's mind, 225 miles an hour going, I don't care if he is Jesus. Get out of my boat. What are you doing in my boat? And then Jesus asked him to push him out a little way from the shore. I think wisdom kicked in all of a sudden with Peter as he looked at that crowd. And he goes, you know what? I don't want everybody using my boat for a bleacher, so yeah, I'll push him out. Protect my boat, my investment. That's my livelihood. And I think I'll drag my nets off in the water a little bit and get them away from the crowd. So Jesus sits down and begins to teach the crowd. Now Jesus has now finished teaching. And now he instructs Peter to take the boat back out into the deep and to let down his net. Now let's back up a little bit. This is Peter. Again, I like to live the scriptures. All that I've studied about Peter, I can just think what was going on in his mind, because he thought a lot like me. Is this guy just nuts or what? He's crazy. Can't he see that I am washing my nets? I've already been fishing. I mean, seriously? I am the professional. This guy, I heard, is just a carpenter. Matter of fact, if you study Peter, Peter was a know-it-all. He was the professional's professional in everything. So you can imagine how he's responding at this moment. Who is this guy? I thought he was supposed to be this great teacher, this great rabbi, this man of so much wisdom and knowledge. And he's, this is, that's just dumb. He wants me to go back out in the deep? Come on now. I'm the professional. You don't go fishing during this time of the day. We already went when it was the best time to fish. And now he wants us to go back out and put our nets down? I could imagine in those moments Peter's wrestling with all of that. And then Peter does something that'll preach on its own. Peter humbles himself. The Bible tells us that he humbled himself to the words of Jesus. He went from being the know-it-all to being one of the smartest men on planet Earth when he humbled himself and responded to the words of Jesus. And he said, "Because you said so, I will." That truth in the Bible begs a question to be asked. Are we walking humbly before God? And are we obeying His word? And when He says do something, are we doing it? Or are we telling God, listen, you know what? I've been doing this for 35 years. Matter of fact, you know, I'm 36 years old and I know better. God, done that, been there. You missed that one. You need to go ask somebody else to go do that because I already know that won't work. And you just missed probably the greatest opportunity in your life because of what? Because we don't humble ourselves to the Father. Because we believe we know when the fishing is best, better than the Father. He asked him, put out into the deep. The scripture tells us that he did. Now, what was the result of obeying the words of Jesus? The catch was overwhelming. Matter of fact, the catch was so large, they had to call their friends to come help them. Let's read that in Scripture. In Luke chapter 5, verse 6. And it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boat so that they began to sink." The catch was overwhelming. Why? Because he humbled himself, number one. Number two, he responded to the words of Jesus and obeyed him. And now it's not just one net that's needed, it's a network of nets that is needed. God is calling the church to get back to fishing. And dropping your net when God tells you to drop your net. And here's the bigger picture of all of this in Scripture. And John, if I mess up the sound stuff, I am sorry. But his net was not enough. My net is not enough. Gary's net's not enough. Dee's is not enough. Arch is not enough. Church, it takes a network of nets if we're going to see the end time harvest. Quit sitting in your room praying and waiting for someone else to go out and fulfill the scriptures. Church, we are the fishermen. I should have everybody in the room clapping on that one. We are the fishermen. And are we fishing? Are we obeying God? Are we even listening for Jesus' voice? Are we too busy living our own world the way we want to live it and not listening? North Elevation Church, we are called to the one. Jesus left the 99 for the one. Here's the cool part about this. I'm preaching this today, and you're responsible for it for the rest of your life, whether you go here or not. It's the call of the church. God needs us to obey His word and put down our nets. Peter made a lot of mistakes, but I see right here in the beginning that Peter had something inside him that was going to make him a great man of God, and that was he was willing to humble himself. That's the difference between being just a Christian, I believe, hang on here, a Christian and being a world-changing Christian. Humbling ourselves and obeying God's word. When God speaks, it's important. I have another pin truth I want to put down today. Together we become the net that works to reach people who need fresh hope. Together we do this. Together we do this. We all do this. Now I'm going to expose a verse of scripture that I'm going to read from two translations that I can't get away from. I just can't get away from it. For the rest of my life, I will never be able to get away from it. So why are you going to bring those scriptures to us? Because I don't want you to ever get away from it. That it become a verse of scripture that the Holy Spirit, because I've been praying, Holy Spirit, thank you for going to do what I prayed to the Father about. That He constantly bring these verses of scripture to you in both translations. North Elevation Church, this is our day of remembrance. We're remembering why we exist. God didn't just give us this building so that we wouldn't be portable anymore. God gave us this building so we could do more and reach more people and train more people and help more people, see more people healed, delivered, and set free and have a place to do that. Very difficult in a portable setting. God has been speaking to us. Now is the time. And we got to get back to putting our nets down. Acts chapter 20, I'm going to read verse 24 from two different translations. Listen carefully. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace, of the grace of God. Read the scriptures. That was not just a call to Him. It was to us. You don't have to be in full-time vocational ministry as I have been for 36 years to have the call. I had the call before I was ever in ministry, putting down my net. From another translation, but I consider my own life of no importance. Man, if we could get there, the world would turn upside down. But I consider my own life of no importance to me whatsoever, as long as I can finish the course ahead of me, the task I received from the Lord Yeshua to declare in depth the good news of God's love and kindness. We have got to put down our net, our nets, and share our stories of salvation. Not only the moment in which I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but you know what? How about last week when you made that little bitty decision that all of a sudden blew up in your face and God, because He loves you so much, got you out of it? He saved you from what? More problems. And somebody may be going through that. You share your story, and all of a sudden, they start believing, would God do that for me? Yes. And they might say to you, you know what? I guess to get started on the right road, I probably need to receive Him as my Lord first. The next thing out of your mouth shouldn't be, well, let me call Pastor. You lead them to Christ. We need to be sharing our stories of God's grace, His mercy, His kindness. And we got to get beyond this. Well, what has He done for me lately? We got to get back to He's always doing. We're just not paying attention. He's always doing. This is free from the Holy Spirit. Just tell me to say this. And quit taking credit for things that God's doing. I know you're smart, but you know who gave you the ability to be that smart and designed you to be smart? That was free. Okay. I want to make this as simple as I possibly can, church. Of where all these people are and where you need to be putting your net down into the water and sharing your personal stories of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it says, He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I need to ask a question this morning. I need everyone to respond. Don't sit there and go, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's rebellion. That's part of our problem and why we're not getting things accomplished, because we're pushing back against what God is telling us to do, because I'm going to do it my way. So here comes your first test. Man, I wish he had had some fun stuff to say like Colin did last week. God's calling us to remember why He sent us. Are you with me? How many in here today, born again, full of God's salvation grace, raise your hand? Everybody, raise your hand. All right, now put your hand down. No more excuses. According to Scripture, you have the power to witness for Christ. Darn, I wish they hadn't raised my hand. You have the power to witness for Christ. Question is, are you? That's the call. Well, I think I'll go to another church. I don't think they have that call. No, it's the call to the body of Christ. Okay? Not going to let you off the hook on that one. It's our call. But think about the reality that God said, I'm planting you with a focus on that. The one matters. He said in here, be my witnesses in Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? It's the people closest to you. When was the last time the people that are close to you, and I'm not talking just family, that you shared a personal story of salvation in Jesus Christ with somebody close to you? They're all around us. Are we sharing our stories? Are we putting our nets down? Well, I'm afraid if I put my net down, I won't catch anything. No, you're afraid if you put your net down, someone might say something. Put your net down. You have the power to witness for Jesus, and He'll take care of you. Put your net down. In Luke chapter 8, verse 39, it says, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. When was the last time you went to people around you and shared with them what God has done for you? And it doesn't have to be real big. It can be real small. It'll make a difference. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for Him. That's our call to the people closest to us. Number two, Judea and Samaria. People near but different from me. People near but different from me. What are we doing about sharing our story, putting our net down around people who are different than us? I have people continue to this day asking me because they don't see pastors doing what I'm doing. And I hang out with pastors, and I know they don't do this. Why do you join service clubs? Why do you get on their boards? Why do you become a president of several service clubs? Why have you been the chairman, vice chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission in a city? Why do you do that? Why do you get involved in the chamber and do things there? You know why? Because it's an opportunity to put my net down to that that's near to me but different than me. You say, well, you do it to expose the church. Not hardly. They just want me to serve, right, Art? They don't want you to serve. They don't care about you. Just come here and serve. We need bodies. My perspective is totally different. It's not about that. It's a place outside my world to put my net down. You know, I think if we would get a net perspective on reaching people, that probably the things that we want to grow would grow, our businesses and different things. We get involved in stuff hoping it'll help our business. What if you got involved because there was an opportunity to put your net down and you went fishing and God supplies everything else you need? Just a thought. I've been asked why was I a spiritual counsel, Rochelle and I, to the late Congressman Ron Wright, because it put me in a place where I could put my net down. If you ever see me at those functions, I'm going around setting people up. They don't even know it. They don't even know I'm a pastor, and I don't tell them. They tell me all kinds of stuff. And then I put my net down. Anybody catching what we're supposed to do? 1 Corinthians 9:22. With the weak, I became weak. In order to win the weak, with all kinds of people, I have become all kinds of things, so that in all kinds of circumstances, I might save at least some of them. And for those of you that are ready to go eat, we're going to go over just a tad because what they did, y'all did for us, was not in the timeline. So hang on. That I might save some of them. There's some people sitting here right now because of my involvement in the things I told you about. It's not about the masses, it's about the what? The one. It's about the one. Not up here patting myself on the back. How can I ask you to go do what I don't do myself? Amen? He said, number three, the ends of the earth. That's everyone else along our travels. Rochelle and I, you'll know about it later. We're finally going to get away for a real vacation, we believe. I'm already praying forward to the opportunities I'm going to have during that time to put my net down. Listen, you may disconnect from work, disconnect from the community you're in to get away and rest, but you never disconnect from putting your net down. Luke 14:23 says, the master said to the slave, go out to the country roads and boundary walls and insistently persuade people to come in so that my house will be full. The bottom line is God has left the fishing to His church. And He has given us a book with instructions. It's up to His church. He has left the Holy Spirit here to speak to us about what God wants. And we need to be putting our net down. Let me share my final statement with you today that I append. Sharing your story doesn't have to be scary or difficult. We don't have to stand up in our shopping cart at Kroger and start preaching the gospel. Everybody take a deep breath. Whew, I'm so glad. Let me pause for a moment. I actually used to have visions in prayer all the time that God was going to call me to go to Walmart in Burleson and stand up on the service counter and start preaching. And I was terrified. I would envision myself up there preaching. And so what I would do to try to get over being so scared, I would just start envisioning somebody screaming from the back of the room going, "Oh, brother, I get it, I'm coming," you know, and come down and fall down and get saved, you know, and then there's a great revival in Walmart. And then the next picture was they were hauling me off after they arrested me into the police car. So I used to really think those things. Right after I got saved, I thought, man, I'm going to be called to stand at Walmart and preach. Let me continue with my final statement. A sobering thought is this. How many instances did I have yesterday, opportunities, and I chose not to respond to them? That has to change. That has to change. People are hurting all around us, and guess what? You have exactly what they need. You have exactly what they need. Well, you don't understand. In my environment, I'm not really. Get out of your environment and go find one to lay your net down. Do something. Go walk in a park. Do it enough that some people start recognizing you, start saying hello to you, and you know, in over about 6 weeks, all of a sudden you're conversing with them, and next thing you know, you're on a first name basis, and then later on they start telling you, you know, you look like somebody that I can trust, and I'm going to dump on you. And then all of a sudden you have an opportunity to do what? Put your net down. Sometimes it takes a little while, but if you never get out there, you'll never have the opportunity. Put your net down. This morning, you've realized that you would love to be one of those people that put their net down, but you've realized you need to be in the kingdom of God first. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You don't know why you know or how you know, but you've been hearing a voice for a while. Something deep down inside here, and you're just not real sure. It's like it's coming from here, and then you hear it from out here, and it's like everywhere you turn, you hear this voice, this soft voice wooing you towards the kingdom of God. And I'm going to ask you today to just stop and give in. And say, today, I'm going to make the kingdom of God my place of residence. Because I want to fish for people. And I am hearing that Jesus can set me free. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand and say, "That's me, Pastor. I want you to pray for me. That's what I want to do." Is there anyone this morning? Okay. So where the whole church is here today? Okay, then church, stand up. I'm going to ask the band to come. We're going to go over a little bit. Again, blame the rest of the staff. Because this is important. In your personal space, I'm going to challenge you not to say no. I'm going to challenge you not to walk out of here and forget this message by Wednesday. I'm going to challenge you to stand there today before the God of heaven and tell Him, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And the song that the team is about to sing is our anthem. God is faithful. He's been faithful to North Elevation Church. Come on, He's been faithful in your life. He's been faithful in your life. So as you sing these words, as you worship God, tell Him, "Here I am, Lord. Send me."